This evening, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks again for the invite. A little bit of spiritual food, and I love sharing the Word of God. I'll get to that in just a moment, but talking about anniversaries, it really does give us the story of life. And Daniel was sharing a little bit about our experience. We were part of the church for 8 years, from 91 to 99 full-time. I have a whole list of memories as I was preparing. There's probably 10, 15 of you right here that didn't make the cut. I can't name you by name, but experiences that we did together. Frank Cortese isn't here, but we were in jail together, and I asked him to come help me pray for somebody. Can you come pray for this guy's hoof? And halfway up, he stopped, and he said, pray for his hoof? He has a bad foot, Frank. We're going to pray for his foot. And jail experience, the Danny Patterson's folks home meeting. Sylvia?
Yeah.
Playing the piano. And her kids were in our home for home meeting. We have so many great memories. And I can't go through all of them. But I do want to say this. Happy anniversary, Daniel. Happy anniversary to Athena. Daniel has been talking up the Padres. As you know, if you look at your iPhone tonight, just act like you're checking out the verses on YouVersion, not the Padres, okay? This is a picture, you'll need to see this after the service. It's a picture of Daniel in the parking lot 24 years ago, the last day that the San Diego Padres were in the World Series. Matt Simmel is actually in the picture with red hair. It's a pretty awesome picture. But Daniel assured me that this is the year they're going to the World Series. So I'm giving this photo to Daniel to say this is God's favor on your dream that the Padres are going. Just hold on a second. You're going to give that to your dad. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about my avocado tree where I live. Matt Simla sold us a home on Plantation Way. I love Rooted and Grounded in Love. Daniel started off the series earlier this year with Psalms 1. I'll share that tomorrow. But over the summer, I was talking with Daniel at a missions event at the Rock Church, and he told me that Athena just loves avocado toast. These stay here tonight through tomorrow, but this basket of first fruits of this season, avocados, belongs to you. Take it home tomorrow. And last but not least, shake my hand. You go buy something really good with all that money. I was going to go to Target and try to find a Star Wars costume or a Padre outfit or what's the new book you're reading?
Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. And I thought, that's stupid. Just give her some money. You go, thank you. Give that to your dad. Thank you. I'm getting... I'm going to jump into the Word. I got to go quick, but before I do that, I do want to share one more story, only because I'm real, I'm a storyteller. I have a lot of memories. After we lived in San Diego for a number of years and traveled up here, we moved over here to Standish, and one weekend, Joanne and I decided to go up to Mount Palomar, go camping. We at that time, we had the three boys. We threw them in the back of a work truck, a Toyota work truck with a camper shell. Those were the days. You didn't need car seats. We just threw them in with the cooler and the tents. They said, can Daniel go with us? We swung by, picked up Daniel. We go up to Mount Palomar. I'm setting up the camp, and the boys went off for a hike. About an hour later, one of the twins, I don't know which one, they always looked alike to me. So one of them came running to Dad, you got to come quick. There's a fire. I jump up 10 minutes away, I run there. And what do I find? I find Daniel Balcom, Nate Balcom, and one of the twins there. They're on their back, their shirts are off, and they're gasping for air. And the place is filled with smoke. The forest is, I thought it was an acre. Joanne says, no, dear, it wasn't an acre. Stop exaggerating. It's probably half an acre had burned. But the boys, after they started the fire, everyone points to Nate, that Nate started the fire. They were running away, the three of them. And Daniel convinced them to come back, put out the fire. And when I got there, I says, now, I knew I was always worried about my boys, but I knew Daniel. There was something about Daniel. He's definitely the voice of reason, even at this young age, and wisdom. Thank you for saving Palomar Mountain and not having my kids incarcerated for life for arson. Happy anniversary to both of you. Let's get to the Word of God this morning. Looking forward to preaching. I have to go fast. Daniel sent me a text, and he says, you have 30 minutes. 30 minutes? And 30 minutes explanation point. Did you know that my iPhone has 90 faces on it with different expressions? If you have an iPhone, I don't know about the other brand, 90 faces, 20 of them are smiley faces. There's smiley faces with teeth. There's smiley faces kisses, multiple kisses, one even with a halo. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did I get 30 minutes with a smiley face? No. So, with that said, thanks, Daniel, for the chance, but we're going to fly through our message this evening and tomorrow morning. But I'm thankful that we're in Ephesians. When I was here at the missions conference, rooted and grounded in love, we had a wonderful time, and it's been your theme this entire year. Daniel gave me verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5. That's where we're going to find ourselves this morning. You can take out, your iPhone or your Bible, however. We'll have the verses up here as well. I have a question. Did we get the pictures of the avocados up here? There they are. Was that up there? I wasn't looking. And if you're really good to Athena, you might score a piece of avocado toast here in about 10 days when those come into season. Rooted and grounded in love, and I love the theme. here on the screen, let's read the verse. I'll read it. You follow along. Imitate God, Ephesians 1 and 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And what I decided to do with these two verses is just to work my way through it. No heavy revelation here this evening, but I want to impart something to you for the few moments that you're allowing me to speak into your life. So with that said, I thought about imitate, and I broke it down. What does that mean? It means to watch, to look, to see, to watch, to observe. And breaking observe down, it means to adhere to. You observe something, you adhere to, you comply with, or you conform to. Once again, we're imitating God. And we need to stay close. So very important to stay close to God if we're going to fulfill what Paul admonishes us to do here. When the Message version came out, I so loved it. It's really a paraphrase is what it is. But it really spoke to my heart. Maybe some of you can relate to the Message version. And this one verse really jumped out at me years ago, and it's Matthew 11:28. It's here on the board. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and your life, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. As we draw close to God, as we have that relationship that's vibrant, and we're observing, we're watching how it's done. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live. How? Live freely and lightly. So love that. Second part of that verse is, in everything that you do. We need to look at ourselves this morning, or this evening. We are constantly making decisions on what we do, right? Constantly. And we live in a culture and a generation where we don't want to look at ourselves and be responsible for our own actions. Look at how you live in regards to you and to God. On the screen, be aware of how you are acting and what? Reacting. How we conduct our lives and how we respond to the situations in our life, our reactions. Only you can be responsible for yourself, right? Your wife can't, your husband can't, your kids can't, your boss can't, your employees can't. Only you can be responsible for yourself. And so often we actually deny the truth of what's going on. We say, it's my dad's fault. I was raised this way. My mom's fault. Or my husband's fault. My wife's fault. We don't take the responsibility for ourselves. You know, we need to say, are we living our lives the way Jesus lived his life? I'll share a little personal story, because when someone preaches, it's nice to have a personal story. We started this last year. Thank you for praying for us, by the way, for Way of Life Church. And earlier this year, the Lord put on my heart to start a program called Celebrate Recovery. And it's just something that churches do. Well, I hadn't done it in 18 years. And it was a time we had some guys with issues. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Little did I know that it was for a lot of other people than I thought it was for. It deals with your hurts, your hang-ups, and your habits. I thought it was for all these guys over here that had habits. Celebrate recovery, habits. But as we began to unpack this program that Rick Warren put together years ago and is so very successful, I realized, Bruce, you got some issues. Yeah, my wife's laughing. Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that for 43 years, honey. You just haven't been listening. I have a lot of hang-ups. I had a lot of hang-ups. And it was an eye-opener, because I realized that one of my problems was I had a tendency to get angry at certain situations. And as we worked our way through this program, we dissected it, and I came to the realization that the reason why I reacted in such a way with anger is because I had taken a judgmental approach to that situation, judging, and because it wasn't going the way I thought it should, my reaction was that of anger. I'm happy to tell you that because of just this one little program looking at this, I've had a number of months now where it's, what's the expression, water off a duck's back. I'm not getting angry when those situations come up because I'm not judging. So I really like this idea of drawing close in everything that you do. Number three, because, why do we draw close? Because, I'm looking here to the right, it's actually above me in my church. I have a screen here and a screen here. So because you are His dear children. I love being a father. I love the concept of we have a heavenly Father. Children learn from their parents. We understand that. They learn by observing. For example, my dad drank his coffee black. I have six siblings. We all to this day drink our coffee black. It's amazing. It's not a DNA thing. We observed Dad drinking coffee black. And I just double-checked with my sisters this afternoon. I said, you guys still drink your coffee black? Yeah, we still do it. It's amazing. We learn by what we observe. And if we stay close to God, because He's our Father, we take on those characteristics. I like the challenge from the Apostle Paul that we might imitate God our Father because we are His children. So let's go on to verse number 2. Daniel only gave me two verses. Verse 2, live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. A life filled with love. What an epic, epic topic, right? Daniel has used, Pastor Daniel has used the entire year to go through the book of Ephesians. He easily could have said, we're going to use the entire year to go through the subject of love. It's the basis of so many issues in our life. It's an amazing word that denotes the essence of our relationship and the reason for our existence. When Daniel asked me to speak, I was very excited about that. In my living room, I have a piece of artwork, and it's 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you might have that. We know that by heart, but I'd like to jump into the Passion translation of 1 Corinthians 13. Again, I want to impart something to you. I'm going to ask you to think about this and then go home and think about it, because this is the verse, a life filled with love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, 4 through 7 and 13, out of the Passion Translation, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself in love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but I have never learned to love, then I am nothing. Verse 3, and if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, to offer my body as a burnt martyr without pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. So, once again, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love. What is love? Well, verses continue on. Love is large, incredibly patient. Love is gentle, consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing for the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up until the end. Until the end. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love, and yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Love the translation. Well, I have there on the screen, you follow along, what love is and what love does. I love studying Scripture. I love hearing it taught. I love hearing it preached, because it causes me to sit for 35, 40 minutes, 50 minutes and listen to a message, and it allows me to assimilate and take in what God wants to say through His Scriptures. Love is large. I'm real. I'm going to keep it real this morning. I wrote the first thing that came to my mind. I tried to get it off the list. You can't say that. Love is large. Let me give you next. What's large? Large is going to McDonald's when you're really hungry and you don't have a lot of money, but you have enough money for a large box of fresh French fries. Let me tell you why large is better. Red carton, a lot of fries in there, is large better than a small bag that's white of French fries? You know it is. Love large. Incredibly patient. You know who is incredibly patient? Love this guy, the father of the prodigal. Story says he's just there looking down the road every day waiting for him. And when the prodigal showed up, the father was ready. Incredibly patient. Love is gentle, opposite of harsh and brass and without feelings. So often we get busy and that's how we are. Do I love? Are you harsh at times? Are you brash? Yeah, sometimes with my grandkids or when my blood sugar goes down, I'm really harsh. I can be harsh. I got a Snickers moment. I need to calm down. Consistently kind to all. The great parable of the Good Samaritan. I have to believe it wasn't the first time that the Good Samaritan saw a need and met the need. That wasn't his first time. That was his lifestyle. It refuses to be jealous. Saul's killed his thousands, but who? David's killed his 10,000. Saul went off the edge, man. He just couldn't handle it. He became jealous. Love celebrates honesty. I love this. I came up with this idea. Honesty. Who's honest? The guy, I don't know if it's left or right, on the cross. Three guys there. Jesus in the middle. The guy on the left, let's say, who are you, Jesus? The other guy said, I tell you what, just being next to Jesus, I'm a sinner. Just, hey, forgive me. If when you get to heaven, let me in. He was honest. And I forget who was preaching this. He preached it this way. He said, the guy gets to heaven and whether it's St. Peter or who, I don't remember how it goes. He says, what are you doing here? And why are you here? He says, I don't know. The guy in the middle said I could come. That's all he said. Isn't that beautiful? Celebrates honesty. Does not delight in what is wrong. We see wrong all around us, don't we? You turn on the news. I turn on the news. I start screaming at the headlines. Love does not delight in what is wrong. A safe place of shelter. Love. Rahab hid the spies in the city of Jericho. Love believes the best for others. Not only did Abraham believe for the best for himself, but for his generation. Love it in Genesis 15. Look into the sky, Abraham. You're going to have a whole bunch of kids. By faith, he believed for others. Spiritually speaking, to this day, for you and I, for Living Way Church, Father Abraham, right? Believed even for us today. Never takes failure as defeat. Peter got up off the carpet and he went out preaching the day of Pentecost and never gives up. Jesus taught a parable about a persistent widow woman. We know that. Don't give up in Luke 24. What love is not and what love does not do? It does not brag about one's achievement. I came up with the idea. It wasn't so much Samson's achievement, but it was his strength. He bragged about that until we know what happened. It came crumbling down on top of him. Love does not inflate its importance. Goliath, I am the Philistine champion. I defy the armies of Israel. He thought himself was big stuff. Well, by the end of the day, his head was being dragged through the city. And that's a word picture. We're not going to go down. Does not traffic in shame and disrespect. Pointing and what? They say the three fingers are pointing back at yourself. Kind of a kooky analogy, but so important. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. Love does not seek its own honor. Great story out of the book of Acts. King Agrippa, people worshiping. He was feeding them and made this great speech. King Agrippa, you are the man. And he's acting like he's scratching his neck, but he's actually patting himself on the back. I am the man. What's the Bible say happened to him? He was filled with worms, and next thing you know, he's dead. Love does not seek its own honor. It's not easily irritated or quick to take offense. My favorite all-time Bible verses, I don't know if my daughter will put this on my headstone or read it at the memorial service. I'm at the age now that she's saying, well, that'll work at the memorial service, so that's a good picture, Dad. Psalms 119, 135, Bethany, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. That's been a motto, mantra, favorite verse of mine from the very beginning. Once again, live a life with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Number five, follow the example of Christ. I think this is key, very important. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. You must have the what? It says the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God is something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus gave up his divine privileges. You have that problem. I have that problem. We have that problem. This culture has that problem. Our children certainly have that problem. They feel entitled. They feel privileged. We all have this problem. Jesus, if anybody had privileges, it is him. He gave them up. So very important to understand. Jesus took a humble position. A humble position is the direct opposite of a position of pride. Who do you think of when you think of pride? Lucifer. It's what caused him to come tumbling out of the heavens to this day. He takes that issue of pride and works it through all of us. And now we're just struggling on. We have to be careful to take a humble position. Jesus humbled himself in obedience. So very important. You've probably heard this. I say we know. You've probably heard the message. We find it in Samuel 15, 1 Samuel. The prophet Samuel said to Saul, take the city. Okay, we'll take the city. Destroy everything. Okay, boss, we'll do that. They come. They go to the battlefield. They take down the city, but they keep the best of some of the animals and bring them back. Samuel says, hey, Saul, what's that I hear? I hear the animals. You weren't supposed to bring back anything. Oh, but wait a second. This is the best, and we're going to offer it to God. Samuel said, no, that's not what I told you. That's not what the Lord told you. Well, we're going to sacrifice. No, you need to obey. And it was a foundational point of the losing of the kingdom of Saul, because he didn't obey. So very important. How can I deal with that? We got to listen. And then Jesus died on the cross. So let me ask you these four things. One, two, three, four. Four things. And ask yourself. I'm going to say it. You ask yourself, what privileges can I give up? I get asked all questions all the time by my lovely wife, Joanne, and I start to answer, and she looks at me and says, honey, it's rhetorical. Do not answer. If you know what that means, what privileges can I give up? Think about that for a moment. How can I become more humble? I can't answer that for you, but you can answer that for you. How can I become more humble? If I'm going to take anything away from this message tonight, I better listen up now, because the preacher's asking me something that I got to think about. How do I become more humble? In what ways can I become more obedient? Well, I go to church and I tithe. I'm being obedient. Well, wait a second. There's a whole bunch in here, more than just coming to church and dropping in some bucks, right? A lot more. It's not just being, not just sacrificing, but it's being obedient to the little things that we see. Ask yourself, how can I be more obedient? And what steps can I take to die to myself and my fleshly desires? What steps can I take? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that for you. Number six, part of this, last part of this verse, and he loved us and offered himself as what? A sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. I love Bible college. I loved being in Bible college. I loved teaching Bible college. I walked in and one of my favorite students was able to pray for me before the service, Brother Joe. And I just want to make sure you know that if you esteem Joe in any way, I am or was one of his favorite, if not the favorite, teacher of all Bible college. I was feeling pretty good about myself when I announced that to your pastor, and he said, what'd you teach him? I said, Revelation. And Pastor Daniel says, oh, that's why he's all messed up. Love the Bible college setting. I love teaching, and I love digging into this. I don't do it a lot. Your pastor is much more celebrial, I guess is the word, brainy, theological, let's just leave it at that. The theological term for this offering of sacrifice, the substitutionary atonement, which refers to Jesus Christ dying for us as a what? A substitute for sinners. We cannot forget this. This is foundational. You can have a guest speaker, pastor, that could come up and weave a story, weave a scripture, preach like nobody's business. But if we don't preach, we don't share the truth of the cross of Christ, it's just taking up space. It's just using up really good oxygen. We have to remember the basis of our Christianity. It's Jesus died for us on the cross. Up on the screen, you should see these scriptures. The scriptures teach that all men are sinners. Romans 3, the penalty of our sinfulness is death. Romans 6, the Roman road. When you talk to somebody, I heard a testimony the other day. The guy said, I'd never heard about Jesus. And this guy came up and asked me, I was pumping gas. He asked me, can I talk to you a second? I said, sure. He says, do you know Jesus? I never heard Jesus. Well, do you mind if I tell you about Jesus? Sure, you can tell me about Jesus. And the fellow just immediately took him quickly through what we call the Romans road, these verses, these basic verses, that, hey, we're sinners, we need a Savior. And as we work through that, we understand that Jesus Christ died for my sin, your sin. And that's why we share the gospel. Without Christ, we're going to die and spend eternity in hell. I don't want to go to hell. It's a stupid expression we use in our culture today. But think about it. It's going to be real. The Bible talks about that. So we need to be very aware of that and then bring it back to Jesus. If you're a Christian, it needs to come back to the cross. The church is a place where we fellowship, but we hear the cross. We understand the cross. When you go and talk to your gas station attendant, your neighbor, your friend, wherever you go, you have to have this as a foundation piece. Let me say this. We need to be ready to share the gospel when the doors open. We're so busy with everything else in our life, we miss the opportunities. That could be a rabbit trail. I'll stay away from that. Jesus Christ died in our place when he was crucified on the cross. He substituted himself for you and I and took what we rightly deserved. Once again, a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Second Corinthians 5:21 out of the NIV. If you don't know this, write it down in your Bible. Do something with it. Keep it. God made him who had no sin be sin for us. Pretty simple. God made him who had no sin be sin for us. We're so busy with life, we forget that. The verse goes on to say this, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. I love this concept. And then I love this pleasing aroma. I'm joking. I don't love this pleasing aroma. A pleasing aroma to God is not the fragrance of your or my gardenias in our garden. Mine, currently, my dog dug them up. They're not, but when I had them in there, and the beautiful aroma. This is not that fragrance. What this is we look in the Bible and we see in the Old Testament, the priests and the people of God were called on to offer sacrifices, animal sacrifices. So the priests would come and they would kill the animal and spread the blood out, chop it up and throw it on the grill. And sacrifice. And then there would be a column of smoke. That's where all this comes from. You can't deep dive there. You can get down in the Bible college class. But I know what that smells like in the natural. I do. I know what it smells like. Quick story. 18 years old. No, I was freshman in high school. 15 years old. I joined 4-H. It's kind of like FFA, Future Farmers of America. You got to have a project. I decided to buy a steer. My dad lent me money. Bought a steer. They bring the steer home. I name him a real cute name, Ichabod. I didn't know at that time it meant the glory of the Lord has departed. That's a whole nother story, but I have a steer named Ichabod. The first thing they do, the guy unloads the steer and he says, before I leave, I have one more thing to do. I said, what's that? I have to brand this animal in case he gets out of your enclosure and he goes down Main Street. I said, okay. So he builds a little fire there and he gets this iron. He says, do you have your own brand? No, that's my first animal. I don't have any. I'll let you use my brand, and we'll put it in the record. He takes his red-hot brand and my steer, beautiful. He's a little guy. I'm going to raise him for 9 months and sell him at the fair for a profit. Just a little steer, white, a Hereford, purebred, white face, little eyelashes. I'm loving on this guy. And the next thing I know, I'm looking behind the steer, and this guy has a red-hot branding iron, and he sticks it in my calf's butt. Right there, well, right there on the side. It's not funny. You don't have to laugh. It was sad. And I can smell it to this day. Flesh being burnt. Hair being burnt is not... But to God, that was a beautiful aroma to God. I can't really wrap my head around it, but we have to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. He was the sacrificial lamb. He gave his life up to pay for the price of our sins, yours, mine, everyone else. So, he loved us so much that he did that. And then I finish with this great verse out of Romans 12. Out of the New Living Translation, it's there on the board, a living sacrifice. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So if we are to follow the example of Christ, we cannot set him aside and this aside. We have to embrace all of this. And I want you to be encouraged tonight. I do. These are two wonderful, wonderful verses that we're talking about. The entire book of Ephesians, rooted and grounded in love, is the main theme. And week after week, your pastor has gone through this wonderful stuff. But these two verses are super, super special. Let me read it one more time, and then I'm going to close with a prayer. Being rooted and grounded in love. Imitate God. Think about that. Therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma. If you can come out tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little bit about fruit, but I have something that the Lord put on my heart that when Daniel told me the theme, it ties right in. It's called complacent Christianity. If you can't be here, watch it sometime during the week on the Facebook or the website. Complacent Christianity. I want these two verses to mean something to you by the end of tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening, all the things, the wonderful worship, the excellent, excellent special song. This word, I pray that as we leave tonight, we will think about it through the remainder of the day and into the weekend and throughout this week. I pray that the word of God would find good soil. Just as a tree is planted and its roots go down, those roots bring up nourishment for the tree to bring forth fruit in its season. I pray that these verses will do just that, to bring forth the nutriments to help us produce fruit in our lives. We thank you for our time together now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Pastor, it's all yours. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep.